You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning. Welcome. Mike McNamara home. So that means hopefully things will run smooth. Hope you had a good weekend. Almost October. Yeah, can you believe it? 30 days. What is that? 3 days, what, September? Half? H-A-T-F? Is that like some old English nonsense? Or am I pronouncing that wrong? And what does half actually mean? 30 days, half September. Is the traditional verse. See how much I learn on All Marine Radio? That's why I love this show. It's a traditional verse mnemonic? I don't even know what that is. A mnemonic device or a memory device. M-N-E-M-O-N-I-C is any learning technique that aids information retention or retrieval, remembering, in the human memory. Mnemonics make use of elaborate coding, retrieval clues, and imagery as specific tools to encode any given information in a way that allows for efficient storage and retrieval. There you go. Okay, so 30 days, half September, or 30 days, half September, H-A-S.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yeah, it's my house. Used to remember the number of days in the months of the Julian and Gregorian calendars. It arose as an oral tradition and exists in many variants. It is currently earliest attested in English, but was and remains common throughout Europe as well. Full 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest of 31, except February, which has 28 and 29 in leap year. See, now that makes sense to me. 30 days has. Why hath? What does hath actually mean? Who used hath? Thou hath. I guess it's a substitute for has? If I knew more. Hath, archaic third-person singular present of have. Oh. Okay, so hath equals has. 30 days has September. I didn't know what that hath meant. Well, I guess I did. Thou hath wronged me, you bastard. We need to duel. Yeah. The so there you go. A little bit of absolutely no use information. But now when somebody says that, you could say, by the way, did you know what that actually means? And now you, yeah, 30 days has September. I didn't know that, right? I didn't know. Okay, Mac, starting off on the wrong foot because you sound kind of, on the wrong foot because you sound kind of stupid. Anyway, good morning to you. The I got back, traveling on Friday, get to the airport at 0. My flight leaves at 4:50. Yeah, out of Dulles. So I get up at 2:30, shower, hop in my vehicle, get to the rental car place at 4 or thereabouts. And so I solved a little bit of a riddle for myself driving to Dulles. Because I go, so when you're in the vicinity of Quantico, those of you that know where Quantico is, south of D.C., you would, if you wanted to go to the airport, the quickest route at that time of the morning, because there's no traffic, up 95 to the 495 west, and then there's a road, but it's a toll road that takes you to Dulles. And I don't want to get on a toll road. I mean, I tend not to have change in my pocket, whatever, right? And so it always screws me up. But then I figured out that there's no toll to go to the airport. There's only a toll if you use it locally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of a breakthrough relative to D.C. navigation, so that made me feel good. So anyway, I get there, drop, everything goes smoothly, drop off the rental car, go through my pre-TSA thing that I love. If you're not enrolled in pre-TSA, make an appointment to go do it today. Right? No taking your stuff out of your pack. You don't got to take your shoes off or your belt. Right? We know this dude. So anyway, it's good for 5 years. Cost you 75, 80 bucks, something like that. And you get in the short line. You don't have to deal with the harassment that everybody has to go through with security. So anyway, I go through that, get on the plane. Max happy. Going to be home before 11 o'clock. Yeah, imagine that. So, sit down, got my window seat, put my headset on. People sitting down, planes loading. All of a sudden, everybody's in. And then I got my headset on. My Beats by Dr. Dre headset. My headphones. Yeah, I got those on. So those are my magic carpet headphones. So I can't hear any noise. I feel like when the airplane's flying, like I'm flying. Magic Genie style. Because there's no noise. Just music. So then I notice people are getting up. Now, I haven't heard an announcement because of my headphones. They're perfect. So I take my headphones off. I look at the woman who is sitting next to me, who seemed like an unhappy human being, honestly. Now, how would I know? I don't. She just seemed like not smiling. Her husband, he had the beat down look to him, too. So anyway, just an aside. So I asked that unpleasant human being, I said, what's going on? She said, oh, we have a flat tire. I'm like, what? So we don't know we have a flat tire until we get everybody on the plane, we get the plane refueled, and all the luggage on, and now what? Well, we got to unload the plane. Because they've got to get the jack out. Or they got to call AAA to change the tire on the airplane. So anyway, we get off. Though that would happen at around 5:40, the time we're supposed to take off. And we head to, where'd we head? Oh, so go inside the terminal. And now, what's going to happen to my connection flight? On a Friday, so are there going to be other flights open? Can I make my connection? How long is this going to take? Changing a tire on an airplane is going to take 2 hours. Now, I don't know how they change tires on airplanes. It seemed like a long time to me, right? I mean, it's an airplane. You got to have jacks, right? You got to have machines that pull tires off. 2 hours? Really? So anyway, but I thought, hey, get it right, boys and girls. Nobody needs airplane failures, all right? So then they give me on my American Airlines app, you know, you're not going to make your connection, other flights. So there was a direct flight to LAX. I choose that one. They say, sorry, that's not available. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to do this. So I call up, and I call up American Airlines, and I get the, would you like to wait? Would you like to wait? And I say, no. Well, they said, because we can call you back. So I do that. And they do. They call me back. I think that's an amazing piece of technology. So the woman called me, and she says, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. How are you? And I said, what's your name? And she said, my name is Dixon. I said, well, Dixon, can you help me? I'm trying to get to Orange County today. She said, well, I think I can. And I said, all right, I love that. So we're chatting about the flat tire. And so she says, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to leave at 7:30. You're going to get into Dallas at 9:44. I've got a flight at 10:54 that leaves that will get you into Orange County at noon. I said, what? So she said it again. I said, Dixon, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, will you marry me? Because I think I'm in love with you. Now let me offer, if you want to win over the heart of a bored travel agent or whatever for an airlines, roll that line out as soon as they do something nice for you. She started laughing. She said, oh my God. She said, I have never been proposed to since I started this job. I said, well, girlfriend, today is your lucky day. And then the rest, oh my God, the rest of the thing, she totally hooked me up. So anyway, I'm just going to offer that to you. And say it very seriously. Dixon, can I ask you a question? Sure. Will you marry me? Because I think I'm in love with you. Oh my God, a little bit of honey? Come on. So I get home, and I hurt my back. Well, let me tell you, I do this habitually, and I think it's because of the way I sit when I do the show. And then sometimes, I don't know, it seems to happen to me as I lean forward, and it's my low back that I somehow or other strain. So I'm dealing with that. So on Saturday, I don't do a whole lot because I know the first step is you got to not mess with your back. So you got to lay on the floor. Hey, everybody, we're going to take a quick break because I got to talk to this Marine because he's not in a good way. So we're going to take about a 4-minute break. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Life's not going too good for somebody. But you know what? Because of post-traumatic winning, instead of doing stupid stuff, picked up the phone and called me. So how cool is that? That's awesome. That's awesome. So the anyway. So Saturday I kind of immobilized. I watched the Yankees, I watched Notre Dame get beat by Georgia, and then I started listening to, and this is kind of where I wanted to go with this, but I did want to give you that. Don't be afraid to tell somebody, ask somebody to marry you on the phone. It's a good way to get where you need to go, especially travel people, okay? Because they sit in there and deal with miserable people. Okay, so anybody who's helping you, whoop that one on them and watch what happens. I started listening to Man's Search for Meaning again. Now, I wanted to listen to it and listen to the second half of it. The first half of Man's Search for Meaning is Viktor Frankl in a concentration camp. The second half is the development of what he developed because of that, and it's called logotherapy. Now, is it therapy based on logos? No. You could look it up, and you would find out a whole lot about Viktor Frankl. And so, logotherapy, all right, developed by Viktor Frankl, the theory is founded on the belief that human nature is motivated by the search for a life purpose. Logotherapy is the pursuit of that meaning for one's life. Frankl's theories were heavily influenced by his personal experiences and suffering and loss in Nazi concentration camp. And so what is it? So the way I do this, right, when I'm gonna deep dive into something, is I get out my notes, okay? And so in this case, it's a Microsoft Word document that I create, okay? And so every entry will have a time, right? And then what he's talking about, and then the notes I put, the bulleted notes that I make. So I do that. And I would just recommend that you do that, okay? I would recommend that you listen to his book. And I would recommend that you listen to it to a couple times. And I'm going to give you a second book. So I did that. So I'm listening to it the first time, okay? And then the second time I listened to it, now I'm taking deliberate notes. That means I'm pausing it, taking notes, pausing it, noting time, pausing it, taking more notes. And it's a pretty laborious thing. But that's how I learn. I wish there was another way. That's how I learn, right? And so when you listen to the audiobook, part two, Logotherapy in a Nutshell, right, he does an introduction to it, right, and then the will to meaning he talks about. He talks about John Hopkins' study that found 16% of people, when asked what was very important in their life, said money. 78% said finding meaning. So he talks about this existential vacuum, right? existential, right, existence that has happened to the world as we don't have to fight off animals, right, as we don't have to raise food, right? So our existence is more and more at our own discretion and more without purpose. So so it's really interesting. And you can see that that only has gotten worse. Now, Frankl writes this book after World War II, right? And he talks about things like Sunday neurosis. And this is completely being the feeling of there's no meaning in my life, right? I'm not affiliated with a church. I'm not part of a structured family. Nobody needs me. And then how that leads to drug addiction, alcohol abuse, you know, and on down the road to suicide. And he said, you know, well, he's really an interesting dude. And that's the other part of this. If you read about him, his own life, at the age, when he was a teenager, he's corresponding with Freud and other prominent psychiatrists, right, about their thoughts about different issues. He goes to the University of Vienna in his teens. Like, he's 16, he becomes director of, like, student health services, specializing in mental health, you know, dealing with people that have lost their way. And he's doing this as a teenager. He then stays around and he becomes a PhD, and you know he's working at various hospitals in Vienna where he's the leading expert on this. Now all this he pioneers on his own, and then he goes into a concentration camp. Right? He could have left, come to the United States, but his parents were not eligible for visas, so he stayed in Vienna to care for his father as he was dying. Everybody else gets put in a concentration camp. He's the only one that survives. And then after the war, you know, he writes this book, you know, about this logotherapy. Logo, I believe, is Greek for the word meaning, right? How, and some very, very interesting stuff that, that people that were having problems, right, with addiction, with, and could find no meaning. The first thing he recommended to him was, go volunteer. Go volunteer in Vienna. Here, I'll find you someplace where you could volunteer. And guess what happened? Didn't change your economic situation. But get to what happened to them. They found that people had it worse than them. They found that they belonged someplace, that their help was truly appreciated, that there was meaning in their life, that they had to go out and find it. So that's the foundation of his work. And then his experience in the concentration camps, where he says, right, that every day we chose the way we would respond to these situations. Right? We cannot dictate how the world comes at us, but we can dictate our response. And so I spent the day Saturday evening and yesterday with Viktor Frankl. He then does, at the end of the audiobook, the audiobook that I listen to is, let's see, on Audiology, is that what it's called? It's got kind of a, yeah, Audible, I'm sorry, Audible. And let me look at my library, and I'll give you the exact title of the one I listened to. Where is it? Man's Search for Meaning. But it's kind of the deluxe edition. And at the end of it, right, at the end of it, it has a postscript, right? It's from 1984, The Case for a Tragic Optimism, right? Now, I would tweak that. I would say The Case for a Traumatic Optimism. And so he defines what it is to be optimistic in the face of tragedy. And so, and that's about a 40-minute, that's about a 40-minute segment. So I would recommend that you check that out. Now, I went from there to a book I was listening to last night and stayed up till midnight listening to it because I found it so compelling. And that book is called, stand by, it's called Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, Six Characteristics of High Performance Teams. It's by a guy named Peter Fretwell and Taylor Baldwin Killand. Now, and the whole thing runs 5 hours and 41 minutes. You can knock the time down if you have them talk faster. I don't like them talking faster than 1.25. Otherwise, it sounds a little bit to me like Mickey Mouse. And I don't want Mickey Mouse talking to me. The only Mickey Mouse I want is when I do, where do Mickey Mouse? So that's the only one. I don't like that. So anyway, I would recommend that to you. Okay? And I would recommend it to you because it talks about all these things in application at the Hanoi Hilton. And there's a lot of really interesting data that they use in the book that I think that you can do great stuff with and just helps with your understanding of helping other people. So, yeah, I've got about another 90 minutes to listen to relative to that. And it talks about the significance of unburdening yourself in your life. Why that's so significant, and the role it played at the Hanoi Hilton, specifically when somebody would get captured, they'd be isolated, right? And then they'd be tortured, and they'd be broken, and they'd give up information. Then they would get put in either in a small cell with a couple other guys, and at first their behavior would be call it antisocial, and they wouldn't. Or if it wasn't antisocial, there was profound regret as part of what was going on in the new person's head, and the profound regret stemmed from knowing that they'd been broken, and that
we're so conditioned right now, I think, by these activists.
That there was this deep regret that at some point I'm going to have to come clean with these guys. And I'm going to have to tell them that I've betrayed them. And then the next question is, what's going to happen then? You know, will they beat the shit out of me? Will they tell me to go the fuck away? I mean, what is going to happen to me? And so ultimately that point would come where whoever was new would unburden themselves and say, hey, I've got to tell you guys something, and it may affect the way you look at me. But it was this deeply profound moment in that person's life that they had failed, right? And what they didn't know was that everybody else had failed too. And so they would unburden themselves, and the response they would get back was, hey, fuck that, man. Welcome to the fucking club. And that was the beginning of this transformation that would occur. And what's most astounding in this book, again, Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, and it's very well done. It's very well done. There's some of the books that you read about the Hanoi Hilton experience, in my opinion, they're too bent on trying to make money. And they're too, they use the historical record as something that you want to, you know, draw lessons from in your current business. And it's more skewed to current business, you know, or life coaching than it is to the historical record. This is, I think, pretty well balanced, right? Obviously, they want to talk about how this applies today, and they do, but the historical part of it is the dominant part of it. So I would recommend those to you. For those of you that have followed the whole post-traumatic winning thing, you will get a deeper understanding if you listen to them. And again, I mean, I'm a huge fan of audiobooks, and then when I really want to drill down into one, what I do is I buy the Kindle version of the book that you can highlight and put notes in, and I use that as well. And so that's what I was doing the other day. I had the Kindle version of the book out. I had my notes going on a Word document as I listened to the audiobook. And I would recommend that to you as something where you could progressively deepen your understanding of this stuff, which I always think is really interesting. And I would suggest you do that so you can increase the quality of your own life. Just like I think everybody who's been listening in the last 30 minutes heard my phone ring. That's a young Marine who's about 24 years old, reaching out because he's had yet another death in his family. And he's struggling. And so, how good is that, right? That the things that you can do to help somebody, to help them help themselves, to help them help others, right, affect them in such a way that instead of going to a black place and doing something stupid, that they will pick up the phone, they will call, right? And so they want to be better. So I will tell you, it's the coolest existence on the planet. And both of these books, again, Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. I'm just trying to see what, narrated by Simon Vance. It's 4 hours and 44 minutes, unabridged. It was released on October 13th of 2004. Publisher is Blackstone Audio. I'll put the link to it, I'll put that little screenshot on, and I'll put the screenshot of Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton up too. And that way you can see both of them. Because, I spent most of yesterday, with the Hanoi Hilton book after I spent the morning with the Viktor Frankl book. So, honestly, absolutely delightful experiences. I also downloaded another Viktor Frankl book. Yeah, Mac, losing his mind. I downloaded John McCain's 6 Years in the Hanoi Hilton, An Extraordinary Story of Courage and Survival in Vietnam. So I'm kind of curious to see you about that one. And then one of the things that I heard over and over again in Man's Search for Meaning was he gives footnotes, right? So in the psychiatry community, when you write a paper like this, you're expected to footnote it. And he pauses during the narrative and he gives a footnote, which I like. I consistently heard about the unheard cry for meaning. And Frankl wrote that in the 80s, I think. The unheard cry for meaning. Viktor Frankl. Does it give a year? No, just when the audiobook came out. So anyway, I would recommend all of that to you. All right, we're going to start the program officially here, and the United States Marine Corps Band will do that. And then I want to play some audio from the weekend. General Mattis on CBS. There's some more audio of General Dunford and Secretary of Defense Esper talking about Iran. So we'll do a little Iran update. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. But United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. what's interesting about my reading, I mean, the thought-provoking nature of reading, right, is that as you look at this kind of march of, you know, man's adrift, as man doesn't have to, you know, provide for his own security anymore. Man doesn't have to feed himself anymore. You need to just go to the store. So you have more and more leisure time. So your life is continuously devoted, instead of to the collective, instead of being part of this community, your life is continually more and more devoted to you. And so, I mean, I grew up, right, and there was structure to my life. There was the structure of my school. There was the structure of going to church. There was the structure of playing sports. So if all of that structure goes away, what do you have? You have people just constantly adrift. And they ask, like, my life has no meaning. Well, I mean, you have to give your life meaning. How do you do that? How do you give your life meaning? Well, to me, you do what you're passionate about. And that's, to me, the career advice that not enough people get. Right? You want to live the empty life? Go do what makes you a lot of money. And go devote your life to yourself. And I'll show you an empty life. And I'll show you people that at the end of that life or in the middle of that life turn around and go, what am I doing? I hate this. Right? I don't do things that I find fulfilling, and I'm trapped in this thing now, and I hate it. As opposed to people that do things they're passionate about, whose lives are full of purpose, I mean, you know, they can live, right, in an apartment, drive a beater of a car, and they're the happiest people you know. Why? Because their lives are full. And so, to me, that's one of the great crises, right, in the world today, is this lack of meaning, and Frankl talks about it. And then you see it as this on this continuum of sliding from when we used to have to provide for our own security, we used to have to provide for our own food. We used to be part of all that structure, right? And because we were a more religious or we attended religious services on a regular basis. Right, there was constant like discussion of spirituality and giving and being part of the church and things like that. So there was a component of that in people's lives. Now, all that is gone, and so you can see, you know, people adrift. My question, though, that popped into my head is, this seems to be, right? This seems to me to be not difficult. Okay. Not difficult to look and say, you know, finding meaning. So you have so how do we approach this problem of destructive behavior? Do we take them in and counsel them about why they hate their dad and all the rest of that shit? Or do we look at them and say, there's nothing you can do about that? We can talk about it, and I'm happy to, but you have to commit yourself to using your experience to help other people. And helping them find that meaning in life restores their life because it gives it purpose. So the more I thought about it, I thought, well, wait a minute. Why is post-traumatic winning such a novel thing? Unwittingly going down the road of Viktor Frankl. Groping in the night because nothing else worked. Nothing else appealed. So you have all these PhDs and nobody can figure out that the focus shouldn't be inward, the focus should be giving meaning to people's lives and challenging a group, especially a group of Marines, to go change other people's lives. And that's how you'll save them ultimately. That didn't occur to anybody. I just find that weird. Ah. So anyway, this is dedicated to Viktor Frankl. I don't know that I've ever dedicated this to somebody who's not alive. But an incredible man whose hand touched millions of lives and changed millions of lives and empowered millions of people, right, to go change other people. And I think it's the most intoxicating, and to me the other thing is, I he affirms, to me what I like is, he affirms man at the center, he affirms man at the center of life. That man isn't some, you know, certainly environmentals play a factor, how you grew up, where you grew up. But we're human beings. We have the ability of reflective self-thought. No other animal can do that. And that is at the center. At the center of all is what we choose. And I love that. I think that's absolutely spot on. We choose. We can choose to change our lives. We can choose to change our circumstances. We can choose to react differently. And in that choice, right, in that choice is ultimately how you save your own life. So, dedicated to me, a guy that the more I read about, the more I learn about, the more fascinating he becomes. And then, you know, again, the men in the POW camp known as the Hanoi Hilton lived this. They lived this transformation. So, it's dedicated to Viktor Frankl. And Admiral Stockdale, who led throughout all of that. So don't be afraid to whoop those things out. And again, the only thing I think it will do is will fortify you, right, to help other people. And in the helping of other people, you will live a life like I do, where you'll get a phone call in the middle of a radio show, and you'll stop the radio show, and you'll talk to somebody. And you'll say, hey, man, are you all right? Yeah, but I'm really hurt. I'm really hurting, right? Another death in my family, right? Well, you know that there's only one way, right? Yeah, I know, but I just need to talk. All right. When can you talk? Well, in a couple hours, all right? I'll be done with my show in about an hour and 45 minutes. Call me as soon as you can, all right? All right, thank you. Right? I mean, how cool is that? It's the best. And that's what I'm offering you, the best. So this is dedicated to all of that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Now, I have to apologize because last week people sent me shithole weather updates. But because I recorded earlier, an hour earlier, and then because I have to get going, I couldn't read them. So I got to apologize, everybody, for not being able to read them. So I've only got one so far this morning. So if you have your shithole weather update, by all means, send that to me. All right. Currently, it is partly cloudy in 85 in Quantico. It is sunny in 80 at Camp Lejeune. That's weird. Hotter on hotter further north. Global warming. Let's see. It is sunny in 78. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms out in the desert. Clouds in 68. Everything's right in Southern California. Everything's within tolerable limits. Dark, cloudy, and 76 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. It's cooled off. Okinawa's cooled off about 7 degrees. Dark, cloudy, and 76. Same exact temperature as Hawaii. In the Alambre Province, the sun's setting, clear, and 90 degrees. So fall is coming to Alambre. And in Afghanistan, about an hour and a half ahead of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 86. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 70 degrees. Looking for a high today of 79 with partly cloudy skies. 85 tomorrow, and then 80 on Wednesday. All right, in Vacaville, California, it's 92 degrees, clear and breezy. Winds out of the north at 18 miles an hour. And that's it. No update from Pennsylvania and Nancy. No update from where is it in Saskatchewan? I want to say Chiefs Bridge or something Bridge. What is it? I can't remember. And then one from Massachusetts. Nothing from Montana. What's going on, man? Joe, that one of these days, one of these days, that dog. This is from Nancy in Western Pennsylvania. Frankel is my hero, Mac. Reading Jeremiah Denton's memoir, When Hell Was in Session, right now. Also, prayers for the post-traumatic winter you've mentioned. Yeah, keep him in your thoughts and prayers. He's a young guy who's had a tough time, a lot of death in his family. But you know what? He's learning. And you know, and that's why I thank God for this thing that is post-traumatic winning. It gives him hope, right? And he has people that are coaching him. He's got trauma mentors that are coaching him as he goes through this yet again. Okay, yet again. The funny kind of sidebar, when my parents were going through all their stuff, and it was horrible, right? We used to call it When Hell Was in Session, right? And that's what we call it now. Do you remember When Hell Was in Session? It denotes a specific time in my family's existence. Anyway, yeah, Jeremiah Denton, one of the leaders at the Hanoi Hilton, subordinate to Admiral Stockdale. But nonetheless, those guys, their leadership. And that's why, in my opinion, that's why I want you to read Six Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, or Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, Six Characteristics of High Performance Teams. But again, what they do best in the book is they talk about the specifics of, you know, the study that you've heard me talk about. They talk about it. They talk about the fact that the program that these guys were involved with, and the reason they stayed involved with it, where they go get physicals every couple year, is because the healthcare is so good. And so they tend to, and they know that, you know, that they're being studied, and they know that there's positive outcomes that come of that. And so so it gives you all the a whole bunch of footnotes that fill in different pieces of the story. So very long-winded open to the program this morning. So don't touch that dial. We'll check news next as Almarine Radio gets going here on a Monday. Welcome home to everybody, which is really welcome home to me. Joe, though, he's going to get counseled for barking during the program. He knows better. More of Almarine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.